ഛായാമോദവിളാവ കുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടികീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീമദസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. We are discussing the thousand names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. We will discuss the next five namas, starting from the 251st nama to the 255th nama. So while learning Lalita Sahasranama, we have to always remember that the Devi that is being praised in Lalita Sahasranama is none other than Nirguna Parabrahman. So it is that Brahman which pervades the entire world. It is that Brahman who has been defined or described as Janmadhyasyatah, as that from which the world has come, that in which the world resides and onto which the world merges at the time of destruction or pralayam. If we don't remember this, if we are unable to remember that everything is one Ishvara, then even Lalita Sahasranama will not do us any good. We'll be going to Mahatmas like Amma, we'll be doing quite a lot of sadhana, we'll be learning various scriptures, even the Brahma Sutra, yet none of them will give us the intended fruit, the fruit of Anandam, the fruit of Moksha. What will happen is, even after so many years, we will have to cry like a woman. So there's no disrespect for women here, but it is just a way of telling that we will have to cry, telling that, okay, I cannot do this, I am unable to be happy. Why? Because I cannot implement it. Why? Because of so and so reasons, because of this reason, because of that reason, because my parents don't agree to my being spiritual, because I cannot do what I want to do, because I have responsibilities, I have duties. So all that will affect us, all that will affect our progress in the spiritual path. It will hinder our progress in the spiritual path. It will take us away and away from the goal unless we try to implement it. So we have to implement. There is no other way than implementing Vedanta. And implementation of Vedanta is as simple as remembering that everything is Ishvara. If we cannot even do that, there is no point of telling that we are human beings. Because we'll be the same like animals. Just that we don't have animalistic tendency like normal worldly people. But what is the difference between us and them? If we cannot use our intellect, if we cannot use our discriminative faculty to find out what is real, what is not real, to find out what we have to do and what we shouldn't do, and pursue it with all our strength, all our vigor, putting everything onto it, that is what we have to do. Unless we do that, we can go around places, we can learn Lalita Sahasranama, we can have bhajans, we can have awakened children discussion. What will it give us at the end of the day? Nothing but sorrow. Anyway, things will appear so good. Oh, Lalita Sahasranama, it's so good. And I am listening to Lalita Sahasranama at 7:30, from 7:30 to 8, it's so good. At 8:01, there will be a call from office saying, oh, things are wrong, immediately, everything gone. Or a call from our father saying, oh, I'm in a very terrible situation, help me. Immediately, the good becomes bad. So that is what will happen, that is what is happening, that is what will happen if we don't pursue the truth beyond everything, beyond all limitations. There is no escape. We cannot escape by telling I don't know or I cannot do. There is no point of telling that. If we are in the spiritual path, either we have to follow it or we have to back out of it. That is, those are only two options. Either be a worldly person and live life to its full, enjoy things, live like an animal, enjoy things, and anyway you are not going to lose anything. But if we are spiritual, we have to be fully spiritual. If we are not fully spiritual, we'll miss out on enjoying life like a worldly person. At the same time, we will not achieve what we want to achieve. So it's like telling, it's very near my mouth, but I cannot move. So it will be that way. It is very near, the Anandam is very near to me, but still I cannot hold, I cannot catch onto it. Why? Because my hands are tied. So that's where the story of Shankara gives the story of a person going on a trip, to his hometown, or we can consider a new place. He is going to a place. So on the way, he has to pass through a forest. He passes through the forest. While he is passing through the forest, some robbers like catch hold of him. They steal whatever he has, like whatever he has, the money, everything, they steal it from him. And at the same time, they also tie up his hands and legs. They don't stop there, they even blindfold him. And then they leave him for the animals of the forest to prey upon him. And luckily for him, there was a passerby was going that way. He saw that the thieves had left the person in a helpless, pitiful state. And the person unties the hand, removes the blindfold, and then shows him the way out of the forest to his goal. So this is the spiritual path that we tread. It's a very good example, very good analogy as to what is happening with us in the spiritual path. We are treading, we are trying to go towards the goal of moksha, towards the goal of anandam. If we don't know as to what is the goal and we are like any worldly person, then it's fine. We will definitely not reach the goal. But a person who wants the goal, there is no point of wanting the goal unless he puts it into implementation. It's like telling, oh, I want a good body. I want a healthy body. And still, sleep. So how will there be a healthy body? So if we want a healthy body, there is no point of wanting a healthy body unless we stick on to the regular routine of how to have a healthy body and work it out. That's what we have to do. So we are in the spiritual path, we are spiritual seekers, because many of us have gone to Amma and asked Amma about moksha, even though half-heartedly, even though pushing from somebody else, even though forcefully asking, still we have asked. So once we are in the spiritual path, then the punishment that we get will be much more. Punishment is not from Ishvara, but punishment is from within. Because a person who doesn't know as to what is the goal, he will not worry if the goal is not achieved. But for people like us, we know as to what is the goal. When we know the goal and we cannot achieve it, which means that we are very close to it, we know it. We know how to achieve it. We know that it is there. We know how to achieve. We know we are close to it, but still we cannot achieve it. Then the pain will be much, much more. So there is a reason why a spiritual sadhaka should always try to implement. So we are treading the path towards the goal, and we have to cross through the forest. The forest denotes the entire world. The world filled with all sorts of attraction, all sorts of trouble. So what happens? There are animals, wild animals in the forest. These animals denote the various tendencies of kama krodham, the mental emotions or tendencies of the mind. And when we try to escape from those tendencies, those addictions, those passions, we get caught up with the thieves. The thieves are none other than our own mind. So our mind poses as a thief. Our mind becomes a thief and it steals everything away from us. It steals us. So it steals our pleasure, our anandam. We will learn later in today's nama that our very nature is anandam. Our very nature is that of Devi, which is anandam. Parama anandai namaha. Parama ananda. Our nature is anandam. We are ananda swarupam as we experience in deep sleep. But still, we are cheated. We are like, the mind steals away the anandam from us. So it not only steals away anandam, it steals away everything that we have, whatever we have achieved in life. So that is the reason why one wrong step, we are like, the spiritual path is not like any path. We cannot just decide that, oh, Amma is there, she will take care. Oh, Balakrishnan Nair is there, he will take care. Paramartha is there, he will take care. The next day we will hear that Paramartha had Samadhi. Amma had Samadhi. What will happen? Again, the pitiful state. So we cannot depend on any external thing. It's what we have to achieve is not external, it is something internal. External influences will help us, but the problem is internal, not external. So the mind steals everything from us, our good things. So one wrong step, we are walking on like on a cliff, as if in a cliff, walking at the edges of a cliff. One wrong step and we will fall off. And once we fall off, getting up will take many, many births. So the mind steals away things. It makes us do things which we don't like. And how does it achieve all those? How does it make us a prey to Kama Krodham, the wild animals of the forest, by blinding us with ignorance, ajnanam. It blinds us with ajnanam, veiling the knowledge that everything is one. So Dvaita Bhavana creeps in because of the blinding. And it doesn't just blind us, it also ties our hands, mouth, legs, etc. That means we will be bound by whatever we are supposed to do. Like we will be bound by the addiction, by what we are supposed to do as per the mind, not as per what we really should be doing. So we want to do, but we'll not be able to do. And as Vidyaranya says in Panchadashi, like it's like Nadhyam Kida Viva Avartantara Mashute. So we take birth, die, take birth, die. How is our life? Our life is like the germs in a water, in the water or in a pond or somewhere, the germs. So the germs are mosquitoes or flies, we can consider. And somehow some person sees, like some Dayalu, some Karunamayan, some compassionate person sees and he relieves us, takes us out of the water, after the struggling water, and places us under the shade of a beautiful tree. So when by grace, by our good karma, by our grace, the passerby comes, the guru comes showing us the way and he takes us. He takes us to the goal. He leads us to the goal of Anandam. So the path is not tough, but we have to implement. Like the thief is always available. The wild beasts are always ready to pounce upon us. The minute we see a Sadguru like Amma, the minute we are able to get Jnanam, we are able to remove the blindfold. So if as long as the blindfold is there on our eyes, we will not be able to do things. But the moment the blindfold is removed, the first instinctive action that we will do is, the first instinct is to run away out of the forest. So that is what we should do. If we don't do that, then at the end of this life, we will have to cry. We will have to cry miserably that our life has become vyartham, our life has become waste. And the pain, as I said, the pain is going to be more because we know that it is within our reach, yet we cannot grasp it. So remembering this, so unless we start working, we start implementing Vedanta now, it will take us like many more births to really benefit out of Vedanta, benefit out of Vedantic learning or Vedantic Shravanam and Nididhyasanam, whatever we do, so that like our life will become Dhanyam. And what will happen if we try to implement, if we implement Vedanta, what will happen? That's what we will see. So the 252nd Nama says as to what will happen if we implement Vedanta. So if we implement Vedanta, we will achieve Devi, who is Om Paramanandaye Namaha. Parama Ananda. Devi, who is Parama Ananda, who is ultimate bliss in nature. Parama Anandam, Supreme Anandam. So by Parama Anandam, so Vidyaranya says, Vidyaranya, in Panchadashi he gives 5 chapters about Anandam, Vishya Anandam. There are many types of Anandam. There are many types of happiness that we obtain from the world by our vyavaharika or empirical existence. Happiness from objects, insentient objects, happiness from sentient objects, happiness out of jnanam, happiness out of bhakti, happiness out of sadhana, happiness out of Vedantic Shravanam and Vidhyasanam. So all these happiness are there. Amidst all those happiness, this happiness is Paramananda because it is Purnam, it is complete. There is no scope for any lack or lacking in this Anandam. Once a person tastes this Anandam, it is like the salt doll, as Ramakrishna Paramahansa says. It's like the salt doll trying to judge the sea. So the ego, when the ego gets more and more attached to this Anandam, attached to Devi, attached to Vedanta, it will try to implement. And when it tries to implement, what it does, it tries to judge, it tries to gauge Brahman. So it tries to gauge Devi, that Devi who is the ocean. So the salt doll tries to go and tries to judge Devi, judge the ocean of Devi. And what happens? It merges onto the ocean. But only if the salt doll is so bold to try that out, else we will think, oh, I will lose my existence, I will lose my temporary existence, my nama rupam will be lost. If that happens, it's very dangerous because I have a name for me, I have a fame for me, I have people behind me just standing for me, like people who are waiting to help me. How can I let go of them? So if we think like that, the salt doll will remain a salt doll. It will not be able to get infinite or Parama Anandam. So in order for us to get Parama Anandam, what should we do? That is, the previous Nama says, Chinmayi Namaha. Chinmayi Devi, we have to worship. Chinmayi. Mayam means filled with, completely. So Chinmayi Devi is consciousness in nature. So it is Chinmayam, everywhere Chit. So that is what we have to concentrate. That Devi who is Chit, who is like consciousness in nature, that Devi who pervades everything that we see, everything is filled with Chit. Chinmayam, Sarvam Brahmamayam. Similarly, Sarvam Chinmayam. So everything is Chit. That is what we have to do. If we are able to just do that one small thing, along with all our burdens, along with all our problems, along with all our obstacles, along with the thieves, along with the wild animals, it's all fine as long as we stick on to the passerby. If we stick on to the passerby, even though the animal will come very near us, the passerby will like save us out of it. He will take us away from it. Even though the thieves might be waiting to pounce upon us, they may be very close to us, but still the passerby will help us. So what is required is that passerby. We need that passerby. So, and that passerby is remembering that everything is pervaded by one Ishvara, one Devi. So just remembrance of that is enough. Even though we may have all obstacles, all troubles, all problems in life, that one thing, remembering that one thing, will take us beyond everything, will take us to the goal. So crocodiles are afraid of turmeric. So turmeric powder or manjal. So crocodiles are afraid of turmeric. So if a person wears turmeric around him, then he can get away from the clutches of a crocodile. So in the samsara sagaram, the crocodiles are kamakrodam, kamakrodari. So all those are ready to pounce, ready to kill us, ready to take us away from our very nature. But If we wear the turmeric of devotion, the devotion of remembering Devi, that Devi who pervades the entire world, then we can cross over the ocean of samsara without being affected or attacked by the crocodiles. The crocodiles are still there. They don't vanish. They are still there. But still, they won't touch us. They won't harm us because we have protection around us. So if we do that, then what will happen is we will realize that Devi is Om Vijnana Gana Rupinyai Namaha. Vijnana Ganam. Ganam means mass, dense mass of Vijnanam, of consciousness. That consciousness which experiences itself is an intuitive experience. It is not just Jnanam, but it is Vijnanam, experience, one's own experience. Subjective experience, a person experiences the dense mass of consciousness. That dense mass of consciousness, which is Parama Anandam, which is supreme bliss in nature. And when we do that, the problems of life will automatically fall off. If we are ultimately blissful, problems will fall off. But problems are due to what? Om Dhyana Dhyatra Dhyaya Rupaye Namaha. Rupinye, in some places we can say it is Rupai Namaha. We will get out of the problems caused by Dhyana Dhyatra Dhyayam. So Devi is Dhyana Dhyatra and Dhyayam. So this is called Triputi, the subject, the object and the action. So we are bound by these three. When we do a karma, when we do an action, we are the karta, there is the karma, and there is the phalam that we are expecting. We are attached. If we are part of these three, we are attached to one or the other, then we will be led to sorrow because it is limited. Three itself means limited. But when we are able to pervade the entire world with Devi, remember that Devi is Chinmayi, who pervades the entire world, Chit which pervades the entire world, then we will realize that Dhyana Dhyatra Dhyayam is all Devi alone. Whatever is there is Devi alone. If Dhyanam, like if the Triputi, Dhyanam, the action, Dhyatra, a person doing the action, Dhyayam, the object of meditation, all that is Devi, then where is the scope for sorrow? Oh no, this Nama speaks about meditation. It says that Devi is like Triputi of meditation, which means we have to meditate on Devi. So we can interpret it that way. We can interpret the meaning as that way. But a person who is meditating, what will happen? He'll be afraid. He will be afraid to go out of a conducive environment for meditation. Like many of us, we are afraid to get out of our, the fortress that we have built around us, the place where we are very comfortable. Why? If I get out of it, I won't be able to meditate. If I don't do meditation for one day, it's very bad, like I feel headache. So that is what will happen. So meditation has to be done, sadhana has to be done, but we should remember that the sadhana is for the goal, it is for the sadhyam. Forgetting the sadhyam, we'll get immersed into the sadhana, will become addictive of the sadhana, and the sadhana will become a gold chain. So just because this person said that we shouldn't be affected whether we do meditation or not, therefore I'm not going to be affected, I'm not going to do meditation, that is also wrong. We cannot get rid of meditation as long as we have progress in the spiritual path. But while doing meditation itself, we shouldn't get attached to meditation. We should remember that which is to be achieved, that which is the goal to be attained through meditation. If not, meditation will become like any normal karma. We will become addicted to it. So that is the reason why we should not be addicted to any sadhana. Any sadhana, anywhere, any place is fine. But the sadhana should help us in remembering Ishvara. So if we are not able to remember Ishvara wherever we are, then we have to do more and more spiritual sadhana. Sadhanas like dhyanam, sadhanas like chanting, sadhanas like bhajan. So that will help us stay focused on Ishvara. And as time passes, as days pass by, we will realize, we will come to overpower the limitations of time and space. Means like we will not be bound by time and space, we will not be bound by sadhana as well, because each and every moment we are doing sadhana, the sadhana of remembering Ishvara. So there is a fine line, like there is a both might appear to be contradictory in nature, that don't like get addicted to sadhana might seem almost like don't do sadhana, but it's not that way. So it might like both these instructions, that okay, one is we have to do sadhana and other is don't get addicted to sadhana, might seem to be contradictory, like we can do only one or the other, but that's not how. We have to do sadhana, sadhana should be done, but one day if we miss the sadhana, we shouldn't get affected by it. But just because we shouldn't be affected by missing one doesn't mean that we won't stay focused. It's like telling a person is driving, he does a mistake, he just crosses a red sign, but that doesn't mean just because he crossed the red sign doesn't mean anything, he will stay focused again. So he will not worry about crossing the red sign, he will not brood over it saying, oh I crossed it, but that also doesn't mean that he forgets it completely. The next red signal he will stop, he will remember that. So that is why we should learn from our mistakes, we shouldn't brood over them. So both might seem like there is a subtle difference only, we should understand that. So sadhanas are inevitable, we need sadhana, majority of us need sadhana for purity of mind, for concentration, so that jnana can give us its fruit, but we shouldn't get addicted by the sadhana. And what we have to do is always remember that any sadhana, whatever is there in the world, the Tripudi, everything, the entire world is nothing but Devi alone. So what about dharma and adharma? Dharma adharma vivarjita. Om dharma adharma vivarjita. Ei namaha. Devi is dharma adharma vivarjita. One who is beyond dharma adharmam. So Devi is beyond dharma and adharmam. Dharma and adharmam are based on the time, based on the person. Like the dharma of asura is killing the devas. The dharma of devas is something else. So both their dharmas are different, but they have their own dharma. So we cannot define dharma and adharma. Defining dharma and adharma is not as simple in the world. One person's dharma might be another person's adharma. So that's the reason why it is called swadharma, one's own dharma, whatever is our own dharma, that we have to do. Yuddham cha swadharmam kuru, says Shankara. In tasma sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yuddhya cha. So when Krishna says that, therefore always remember me and do yuddham as well. So there Shankara says yuddham cha swadharmam kuru. Yuddham, do yuddham. Swadharmam, yuddham means swadharmam. That is what Krishna says. That is what Shankara says. That Krishna says. So swadharmam, so that dharma adharma is at the vyavaharika level. So only when dvaitam is there, dharma adharma are there. If we think there is something, like if we think that by doing some action we are going to get affected or afflicted with sin, then we should do what is dharma. But ultimately Devi is beyond dharma and adharma, because where that which is beyond everything, that which is beyond dhyana, dhyatra, dhyayam, where can there be duality? Where there is no duality, where is dharma and adharma? No duality. So there is no dharma or adharma, there is nothing at all there. What is there then? Chinmayam. There is only Chinmayam, which is Parama Anandam. But if we think that not doing Sandhyavandanam, if we don't do Sandhyavandanam, Pitras or our four ancestors will come as ghosts and kill us or catch hold of our neck, then they will definitely do it, because it's our belief. If it's our belief, even if they don't come, we'll feel as if they are coming and they are holding our neck. So that's what we will feel. So we have to do, in such a case we have to definitely do, but that is not the truth. The truth is that whatever we see is filled, is pervaded by consciousness inside and outside, which means there is no Tripudi, which also means that there is neither dharma and adharma. The only dharma for a sadhaka is remembrance of Ishvara. At any point of time, remembering Ishvara, remembering that Devi who pervades the entire world, that is dharma. And forgetting it is adharma, because this dharma was the dharma of remembering Ishvara will take us to Parama Ananda, and the adharma of forgetting Ishvara will make us immerse in the samsara sagaram, dukkha sagaram. Will take birth again and again, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. It will continue again and again, and we'll have no contentment in life. Though we may be a spiritual seeker, yet if we don't remember Ishvara, if we don't implement Vedanta, if we don't implement Vedanta by remembering Devi at all times, from starting this minute, then our this life will be vyartham. Our life will become waste. It will be futile, and such a futile life will lead us nowhere. We'll become more and more suffering. Our life will become more and more miserable. So let Amma bless us so that our life doesn't become miserable. Namaskar.